That's right, guys. I'm Usually Dave, and you are listening to Super Reviews, a brand new Digital Soup production. This is a brand new monthly installment, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friends, Adam. Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is Super Reviews has going on for it?
Well, what it is, Dave,
what it is. I feel like I can't talk all of a sudden. I'm so excited.
Our Super Reviews is a new bonus show where we are going to go diving in depth into some topic, usually and probably going to be movies because that's what we like the most. These are exactly. These are going to be fully spoiler packed reviews.
That's right.
And disclaimer, none of us are film critics. Mm-hmm. We are just people who like to watch movies. And I think we just want to throw our opinions out on stuff. So it should be some good conversation, and we are not always going to agree, but kind of the format we're looking at is we're looking at, if we're going to do movies, we're not going to do movies that are currently in theaters or anything like that. We want to do movies that you as a listener could go out and rent or watch on Netflix or whatever as a follow-up, or maybe it's something you've seen already. And we're just going to kind of rotate and take turns picking movies to review. But we also might use the segment for more than just movies, so... Super Reviews, it is.
That's right. That's right. I just can't wait to make you guys watch 13 Going on 30 again. I mean, I sent you that text and you think I'm joking, but just wait.
It's a touching story.
All right. Well, joining us also, of course, Adam and I are here. We couldn't do this without our best host, and that is Jason. Jason, why don't you tell everyone as we dive right into this, what we're talking about this week on Super Reviews?
We decided that we were going to pick a movie that kind of has a little controversy behind it. You know, there's a lot of talk about this movie. Some people like it. Some people hate it. A lot of people are right in the middle ground on it. And we decided, you know, since none of us had seen it, let's go ahead and watch this and see what we think about it. And the movie we're talking about is Will Smith's new vehicle, Bright. It is a movie set in a world where fantasy creatures live side by side with humans. A human cop is forced to work with an orc to find a weapon everyone is prepared to kill for. Now, that description right there lets you know that this is not going to be your average everyday movie.
Right.
If I don't want to go too deep into it right now, just during this introduction here, but it is pretty weird. I like the way they did it, the way they're mixing real world stuff with all this fantasy stuff. But before we actually get into our thoughts and everything on it, let's just cover some bases here of a few of the main players. Of course, Will Smith. He plays a character named Daryl Ward. I don't think we need to introduce Will Smith at all. We know, you know,
Daryl.
Daryl. Yeah. We know exactly. I want to go Carl so bad, but I just did. Wow, that's weird. But everybody knows him. He's been in everything. Joe Egerton plays Nick Jacoby, who is a orc who has decided to become a police officer for the LAPD, I believe it is. And because he did this, you know, we'll talk about it later, but he's kind of, you know, he's been ousted by the orc community. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to butcher this last name here, but I believe you pronounce it Noomi Rapace.
Sounds right. Works for me.
Yeah, and I'm going to butcher her name because we were discussing earlier what exactly, how we pronounce it. I think Lila.
We're going to go with Lila. Out, Dave?
Lila?
Okay. I think it was Lila, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then, you know what? And I totally forgot what I was going to do. Joel Egerton, a couple of movies you might have seen him in before. Edgar.
Edgerton.
Okay. Oh, it's an E, isn't it? Yeah,
it's Edgerton.
Right. Yeah. Edgerton. I'm sorry. I thought that was an A. Now you're making me look like a big A. Thanks.
You've got a really big A.
Hey, now, buddy.
But tonight he was in Digital Soup After Hours.
He was in The Gift and Zero Dark Thirty, among a lot of other movies. But I just picked out a couple of his big ones. Noomi Rapace, if I'm pronouncing that right, she was in a couple of movies I liked that I watched and I liked. And they're the same type of movie, you know, both alien movies, but Prometheus and Alien Covenant. So we'll call her the alien girl. Edgar Ramirez. See, there's where I got Edgar from.
Yep.
You know, see, I knew there was an Edgar here. He played a character. Oh boy, Candemir. Come on, Candemir. You're the geek, Dave.
Just
tell
Candemir.
Me how to pronounce that. Candemir. Okay.
Yep.
Couple of movies he's been in is Point Break. I believe it was the remake of Point Break, not the original.
Right.
And another alumni from Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah. Oh.
And then the last one here, Lucy Fry. She played Tika, who is the Bright, which we'll get into later. But
Teacup?
No, Teacup, yes. Now, I only put one thing she's been in because she hasn't been in a whole lot of anything, really.
I'll tell you what. She was in a whole lot of trouble in this movie. Am I right?
That's right.
But if you ask my three daughters, they will know who she is because they have watched the heck out of H2O Just Add Water.
Yeah.
And for Adam and Dave, because Adam and they probably don't know about this.
Have no, you guys? I do.
You do? It's mermaids. Yeah. And of course, my daughter, young girls go crazy over mermaids. So they've watched every episode of this and the sequel, remake, reboot, expansion that they had later.
Right.
But, you know, I never shot, you know what I mean? She. But I don't know where I was going with that.
50s gumshoe. I've got to say with
yeah, she.
With Lucy Fry, I had to look her up because when I first watched this, I thought for a minute that was Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones, Daenerys. Yes. She had to look because you never got a real
good look
at her. Yeah. You never got a real good look at her face early on. And I'm like, was she really? No, that can't be her. I mean, it wasn't. So, but yeah, I had to do a double take because she could have been a stunt double at some point for Emilia Clarke over at Game of Thrones, maybe.
Yeah, cool. The director, David Ayer, I guess that's probably how you pronounce it. I'm not good with names tonight or ever.
Yeah, you're doing okay.
he directed such smash hits as Suicide Squad. I'm being a little facetious there. Training Day
Oscar
was good,
winning.
Though. I did enjoy Training Day and the original Fast and Furious, which I still have not seen a single one of those movies, so maybe Super Reviews is going to have to do it, so I watch it. I don't know. Now, the writer of the movie is Max Landis, who has done several other movies, but I just picked out one that I had seen, you know, because it's all about Jason. It's Chronicle. So I really enjoyed that movie. He's done a bunch of other ones, too, but I left them out. I don't know if you guys
did
know
Narnia?
Offhand. Did he do Narnia? Oh,
yeah,
stop
you just
it.
Say Chronicle.
Yeah. What?
He's in a little bit of trouble right now in Hollywood.
Come on, of Narnia. Okay, go.
Yeah, no, Max Landis in a little bit of trouble appears. He's the latest to have charges brought against him for some allegations of inappropriate conduct. So we won't focus on that here because we're focused on Bright. So
sounds good.
With that, where do we want to start with this? What did you guys think? Where's your jumping in point on this flick?
I mean, should we start with kind of... Since we're going to pack this full of spoilers, let's go through the story a little bit. And then as we go, we can comment and talk about it a little bit. If you'd like me to get started with that, I sure can.
Do it, man. Let's start.
All right. Well, this movie called Bright opens in L.A., where humans coexist with orcs, elves, and fairies. And it's kind of like if Lord of the Rings was real... And it just carried forward into modern times. This is kind of the take on it, which is a little bit different, which I honestly thought was kind of cool.
I did too.
Will Smith is he's out on the streets with his partner, his orc partner, and he's getting like a hot dog or a burrito
Burrito, yeah.
And another orc gangster emerges from a shop and blasts Ward with a shotgun. Now, we don't get to see if Ward... what the extent of his injuries are, but it flashes forward and he's... ready to go back to the force. So he wasn't killed, but he was taken a shot at. And so he's kind of living in the ghetto, and he wants to sell his house, and he's got a daughter who's very scared that that he's going to get killed because he's a cop. And they're watching this this funny clip. It's Joe Rogan doing an interview with an orc talking about Jacoby being on the force. And the other orcs hate Jacoby. They consider him a traitor. And Ward does not like having him as a partner because he blames him for getting shot. So, his wife makes him go outside to try to kill a fairy that's messing with their bird feeder.
I was hoping you'd bring that up because that whole scene, you know, after he gets shot and you see all that, he wakes up, it's a dream, basically. And you're not quite sure at that point, like, Was that just something he was dreaming about, or did it really happen? And then you find out,
or was
it
going to happen in the future?
Right, right. And then you find out it did happen. He's been at home recovering, everything else. He comes out, and then it's the big exposition scene where, you know, he's talking with his wife. And honestly, I don't even know if the wife in this movie got any other screen credit other than being the wife, or Ward's wife, Mrs. Ward, something like that. But they have a great conversation, kind of talking, you know, to set up this world of that we're living in. Now she's worried about him. You know, she's a nurse. She's worried that, you know, they'll wheel him in and he'll die on the table in front of her, all that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, she's harassing him because there's this fairy outside that's, you know, swarming the house and the bird feeder, just kind of foul mouthed and yelling and hollering. And, you know, she's like, I'm not paying $200, you know, like they're trying to get rid of a pest of bees or something like that. And he goes out there. And, you know, he's trying to talk her out of it. Just hire someone. He's like, look, I don't want to mess with fairies. Now, I'm going to warn you guys, this is a quote from the movie that I wrote down because I found it hilarious. And there is a F-bomb or two in here. But he's telling his wife that, look, I don't fuck with fairies. My cousin fucked with a fairy, and that fairy shit in his own hand and threw it right in my cousin's eye. And then, of course, she convinces him to go ahead and, you know, buy... Or go out there and take care of it himself. And by take care of it, he means brutally squash this thing on the ground.
Murder it.
Well, at one point he goes, fairy lives don't matter.
Right.
And so he kills this thing. It's like, oh, I guess they really don't. They're not considered people. Right. They're annoying.
And that's when you really got a sense. I mean, the opening credits of this thing are all this awesome graffiti as this kind of slow hip-hop song plays, and it's all these city streets. But all the graffiti is like orcs and elves, and you kind of get that sense like, okay, something's different. And right then in that scene when he tells that story about the fairy is when it kind of shocked me. I'm like, okay, I don't know what I expected going into this, but I did not expect it to be like a foul-mouthed you know, real violent, like graphic thing. I don't know why it was so weird to see Lord of the Rings flavor. I was picturing Frodo swearing like that, and it was hard.
And I think that might be what was such a turnoff for some people with this movie, that it's, that's not, why are you blending these two things? It's like eating orange juice and tacos, toothpaste, I don't know.
But, I thought you were going to say, and vodka.
Those things don't go together at all. Yeah,
just ask Kevin.
Well, anyway, Poland. I'm going to move the story forward a little bit. So he blames his partner for getting shot, of course.
Right.
And they drive through Elf Town, which is, I actually kind of thought this was cool. Like the elves are the way, way upper class, separate, like high-end city.
Right.
Just there, because it reminded me a little of Lord of the Rings on that extent. So, but they finally get to work, and there's some of these kind of rotten cops that are there that are just mocking Jacoby when he's not around, and they just hate the guy. And so Ward, when he gets assigned to be on patrol with Jacoby for the day, protests to his sergeant, and she does not give a crap at all.
Right.
And then they kind of go out on their patrol for the day, and where they cruise around and. They meet up with a sheriff, Rodriguez, and there's this crazy guy waving a sword around in the street and
looked yelling. Like he was like 7 feet tall or something.
Yeah, he's yelling nonsense. So that guy ends up surrendering because they draw their weapons. But, you know, then all of a sudden the guy that they arrested starts speaking orcish and telling him to remember the old ways and this stuff and that Ward is blessed. And so it started to get a little mysterious there. And they start to kind of get into a little bit of the lore of the movie, but not deep, because they are talking about, throughout this movie, they're talking about the resurrection of this Dark Lord.
Yeah.
Some evil guy that was defeated thousands of years ago. And they never really get into who that is or what that means. And I'm wondering if that's like where the sequel's going to go.
Maybe. I'm assuming, yeah.
Netflix did come out and release kind of a behind-the-scenes documentary, I guess you'd say, that tackles a lot of the lore. I haven't watched that yet, but I just saw the news headlines on it a day or two ago, and it really fills in a lot of the blanks about the world, I guess, you know, the history of that world that should have probably been in the movie to start with, but they just, for whatever reason, didn't put it in. I think it works that they didn't put it in because... You know, one of the notes I have written down as I watched this was that, okay, first off, it's very clear they're making this kind of a race-oriented statement where, you know, the orcs are very heavily influenced by the, you know, Latino gang culture. And so then, you know, there's statements there, and that, you know, the daughter at one point makes a statement to Ward, to not be so mean to Nick Jacoby, his partner, the orc, because orcs have feelings too. And it kind of felt like early on you were being force fed this kind of, you know, propaganda, or not propaganda is not the right word, but, you know, like, you should be believing this kind of a thing. Right.
And I think a lot of the turnoff for a lot of the other critics, it's like the way this movie, they see a lot of the correlations with the races of the creatures or the other, you know, elves or whatever, with a correlation with like racism now.
Right. And it was an interesting way they pulled that together in an analogy. But,
and I can see some of that as a dumb movie fan who doesn't know anything about film and not deep messages. Sure. I was just kind of watching this going, oh, cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do kind of, I know exactly what they were doing with it, because the orcs were never, they're really second class citizens in this,
right?
In this whole deal. But I'm always, because it's an orc, and my brain goes back to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
It's kind of for a reason, you know,
right.
But they're trying to change their ways, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, there was the great line in there at some point in the movie. I don't know where along the lines it went. After, it might have been after they arrested that the guy swinging the sword around. And there's the feds, which are like the magic fed, like magic FBI.
Elf FBI.
Yeah, and it's
not elf. Yeah. I'm from Melmac.
Yeah. It's this one guy who's he's an elf.
Like cats.
And he's the... Yeah, he's the head investigator, and his partner, which I assume is human, but sure looked an awful lot like a dwarf, even though he was regular height, but he had that big red beard, looked like a classic, you know, Lord of the Rings dwarf, and they're interrogating him, and they're like, look, it's just the way it is. Orcs are always, you know, physically strong, blah, 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 but they can't jump. We measured that stuff, you know, and they're going after him, and, it might have been later in the movie, actually, when they're interrogating, who's the Jacoby, Nick Jacoby, the orc officer, about how that guy escaped on an 8-foot, you know, fire escape, because orcs just can't jump. That's why the NFL is, you know, full of a defensive and offensive lines of orcs. They're strong and they can move stuff, but they can't jump for nothing, you know. And yeah. They really were going hard on the stereotypes in this, you know. At first I was like, I don't know about this, but it drew me in.
Orcs can't jump.
Yeah.
So... they bring the sword wielding dude into the station, and for some reason those elf FBI guys, Candemir and Montague, they ask him what he knows about a couple of elf sisters. That's Leela and Tika, and the guy who is he says he's from the Shield of Light, the sword guy.
That's what it was. Yeah,
he knows that that Leela's a dark elf and part of this Inferni clan. Mm-hmm. So this is where it starts to get really geeky and nerdy. You know, the Inferni clan. they want to, it's the group that wants to resurrect this dark lord.
Yeah.
You know, and
stinking dark elves. Minions. They always want to do that.
Yeah. Classic dark elves. But Leela is a bright, meaning she can wield a wand without it destroying her. So this is a little bit different concept. It's not like a Harry Potter wand. It's this really super bright lightsabery looking stick that will make you explode if you don't have enough brightness.
Yeah, that was our introduction to the magic, really. Mm-hmm. You know, was them talking about the sisters, and while that was happening, you know, Nick and Daryl had pulled up on a call they got. There was a spotter that they started getting into a shootout, and they go in there, and you find there's been mayhem in this house. People exploded all over, and they come across a being that's all tree branched out magically to a wall, looks dead, but not
that
dead.
That was strange when I saw that. I didn't know what was going on there.
I couldn't process it.
I was just like, okay, so there is magic in this, and then the way they handled it where, you know, I thought that was pretty cool, where not everyone can wield magic, only certain people, but... The guy from the Shield of Light that was swinging the sword around, he makes a statement while he's being interrogated, like something to the effect of, look, it's a one in a million chance, but if your life is so bad and you're a downcast citizen, everything else, if you had that chance to be able to wield that power, even if, you know, it meant there's a good chance you're going to just explode, I'd take it, he said, you know, and just because if you were successful, it'd be amazing. So...
Yeah. So before they get to this house, those FBI elves asked, whoever the guys are, FBI people.
Elf.
They asked, the elf. There you go. The elf FBI. They asked Ward to basically record. Here's a recorder. Try to entrap your partner into admitting what really happened with that. The guy that shot you.
Oh, that wasn't the elf FBI. That was just the regular FBI feds. They were trying to get rid of the orc off the force.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I had it wrong. So anyway, they're trying to convince
classic
him to do that.
Classic T-Bone.
Oh, man. So anyway, flash forward. We're in the house where the lady's magically painted there.
Yeah, magically painted.
Which didn't make any sense. Backup
beautiful
arrives.
Beautiful visual, though.
It turns out that there's this. They find this Tika in there, and that Jacoby takes her outside or whatever. The other officers show up. It's like that sergeant and some of the other bad officers. And once they realize that this was a magic wand, those cops instantly are like, we're about to change our own lives. And they basically order him to go outside and kill Jacoby.
Right.
They said, if you don't do it, we're going to kill both of you. And so he's outside, and he tries to pry the truth out of Jacoby at gunpoint. And Jacoby admits that, you know what, I lost the guy. I grabbed the wrong orc and that, you know, that I was chasing that shot you. Mm-hmm. It turns out it was some kid just spray painting the wall.
Yeah.
And because I know that the human officers are going to kill him for being an orc on the spot, I helped him up the ladder and let him escape. So a few seconds later, the bad cops come out. Ward spins around, busts a cap in everybody. And he basically kills
awesome
all of them.
In awesome slow motion. You got to, don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. In awesome slow motion. Yeah,
very, very well done scene. And did you catch the details as he's shooting them when the camera goes and you can see the blood spray hitting him?
That was brilliant.
It was kind of cool.
But my question is, how many bullets does his gun hold? Because it seemed like he was shooting for a long time.
I don't know. A lot.
Average clip is around 12 to 15, probably, on a gun like that. I'd assume.
Hollywood bullets.
Right, right.
And so right after that happens, Jacoby doesn't know what the heck's going on, the orc guy. Mm-hmm. And so he's trying to arrest Ward. And all of a sudden, this wheelchair-bound Latino gang guy named Poison rolls up. And he knows about the wand. He wants it for himself. Yeah. So they escape, they grab Tika, they get into the van, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they start getting pursued because these guys, they want this wand because they realize how much power there is. So the knowledge of this wand being around is starting to spread.
Right.
And suddenly Kesha and her minions show up.
Kesha?
Yeah, Leela looked a lot like Kesha when I first
saw her. Oh, yeah? So. I didn't even think of that, but yeah.
So with a bottle of Jack. So anyway, the gangsters keep chasing Ward and that's Kesha doesn't actually show up until after the gangsters first grab the wand and causes him and everyone around him to die. So, turns out the elves are actually, super badass, like martial arts master killers.
Well, they seem to be very strong and almost, indestructible too.
Right. And I was going to say, let's talk about that real briefly, because there was a moment early on when all of a sudden you realize the elves are the bad guys, the big bad in this movie. That was kind of interesting to me, because usually you see elves, there's dark elves and stuff, and usually the elves are painted in a light where they believe they're doing right because they are better than everybody else. They're always kind of snobby and rich, which, was kind of fitting that they put them in that lifestyle here. But then to see them come out and just be ruthless killers, I don't know why it was so jarring, but I really enjoyed it, where they came in and they were just laying waste to everybody. They didn't care who or how. They just were killing everybody.
It was like Legolas being in an alternate universe where he's evil.
With machine guns and, Jackie Chan skills.
Yep. So a lot of it turns into this kind of chase. So they're getting chased all over the place. The elves are trying to retrieve this wand.
Right.
And at some point, who grabbed them? A group of orc gangsters basically surrounds them.
Right.
And they grab this whole group and drag them to a church. That's kind of their lair.
Yep.
And so Jacoby is what's considered unblooded in this movie. So the orcs, you have to be blooded to be considered one of their own. And so they don't give up the wand and... Mm-hmm. The leader of the gang orders one of them to be executed. So
Now, Let's just talk real quick about that. This is one area where this movie, I feel, suffered a little bit because I shouldn't say suffered, but it was almost that point where the acting got so over the top where it was almost enjoyable again. But there were some scenes where these characters just took their stuff way too far. And I think there was a very noticeable gap between the talent level of Will Smith and Joel Edgerton compared to some of these other people, like this orc captain. You know, I think his name was Captain Longtooth or something. He's down as they're interrogating him, trying to get him to give up this wand. And he's right in the face of Will Smith's character. And he's like, yeah, after Will Smith tells him, or Daryl, you know, Ward, whatever his name was in the show, there was no wand, man. That's just an urban legend. He's trying to get out of it. Like, look, there's no wand. Just forget it. Let us go. And this captain is like, well, that's funny because, you know, the police thought there's a wand. The elves think there's a wand. The feds think there's a wand. The, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He goes on. And then he goes to this speech where he's like, and I think there's a wand. And he's just freaking out. And it was so over the top. I was like, I started laughing.
See, orcs can't even act, you know?
Right.
This is.
it was so over the top that I was at first. I mean, my first reaction was to laugh. And I couldn't decide if I hated it or if it was like, oh, that was just brilliant. So bad.
So a little
it was
overacting
good.
Like Jonah Jameson, maybe a little bit there.
Yeah, almost. It was just nuts over the top.
Oh, so anyway, the screaming orc orders his son to execute Jacoby, who can't do it because it turns out that's the orc that Jacoby let go in the street.
Foreshadowing.
That was
like,
tagging.
Oh, you know, a little bit predictable, but not too bad.
Yeah.
So they end up, the leader ends up shooting Jacoby and lets his body fall into the pit. And suddenly Tika pulls out her wand and uses it to resurrect him and raise his body. And all the orcs are astonished and they're like, oh, he's the one the prophecy spoke of.
Mm-hmm.
And the three leave. My problem with this is like, oh, he's part of a prophecy. Well, you just saw her resurrect him with a wand. It's not like he did it
that's
himself.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So...
They start bowing to him, not to her.
You didn't see the lady holding like the lightsaber stick that makes people explode? Just like raise him up using the magic juice? Mm-hmm. Come on now. Come on. So after this whole incident, that Tika finally speaks English for the first time because she can trust Ward and Jacoby.
Yeah.
And by the way, for those that aren't familiar, I am reading a lot of this off of themoviespoiler.com to remind myself.
Oh, I thought you were
exactly
making this.
No, I did not memorize this entire movie, and I want to give credit where credit is due. So the use of the wand apparently takes a toll on her.
Yeah.
And she explains that she took the wand because she's Inferni. And she knew that Leela wanted to bring back this Dark Lord and sent these other people to kill her. So she took the wand herself, made the lady turn into wall art. And then she tells them that the Shield of Light can help them if they take her to a pool back at the same house they started with because it's starting to, this wand's starting to kill her. So they bring her back to the house, which is, they didn't want to go back to the house. It's almost like going back to Jakku.
Yeah.
And of course... Leela and the other elves show up, and it's a complete elf fest fighting the cops. I actually didn't mind the action scenes and all that. I thought that was pretty well done.
The fight scenes, they really reminded me of like a John Wick type thing. The hand-to-hand fighting was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like this is a little more geeky part of it, but if you noticed... When you watch the fight scenes, a lot of the shots in here are standard Hollywood cinema shots. They're done with a Steadicam and gimbals and all this nice smooth panning and everything else. A lot of these chaotic fight scenes were shot, apparently, it looked to me at least, handheld, where there's the camera's bumping around, it's moving, there's quick movements here and there, and a lot of sharp cuts and stuff back and forth, which really, to me, added a lot of tension to the fight because otherwise it might have been kind of a ho-hum fight. But the camera work, I think, really deserves a lot of credit as far as helping bring an intensity to these fights that maybe wasn't otherwise there.
And I didn't notice that, but maybe that's a good thing.
Right.
I do notice when the shaky cam is too much and is bad.
Right.
Because that's, like, you know, that's become kind of a trend now. Like, let's make the camera add to the action like you're there.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever watch an action sequence.
Well, they just got to stop hiring Michael J. Fox to film everything.
Oh.
That's Jason at digitalsuitpodcast.com.
Right. Send your hate mail there.
I watched this really interesting interview with Jackie Chan once, talking about how he filmed his action scenes, and that the quick cuts take away from your brain's ability to understand what action took place.
Right.
So when he would do an action scene, like he's going to kick someone, and all of a sudden they change to another angle, they would actually play back a second of previous action in that other shot so that right. your brain could connect the two. And as he explained that, it instantly dawned on me, like if you watch, you know, Batman Returns, for instance, yep. or something like this, where all of a sudden it's just these quick cut fight scenes where you can't tell what's going on. There was a lot of truth to that. So.
The Transformer movie?
Yeah, it's a Transformer. So Ward and Jacoby, they end up killing the elves. They did a pretty darn good job. Of course, they are police-trained LAPD
right.
Bad boys there. Can I also mention, I felt like there were several little nods to Will Smith movies throughout this. Like they named somebody was named Hancock in one of the scenes, and there was...
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
I kind of feel like there was some bad boys references in there. But anyway... Jacoby appears.
There were a couple of guys that were up to no good, probably.
Yeah, they started making trouble in the neighborhood, that's for sure. They got in this one little fight, and then they shot Leela dead.
Oh,
and so they take Tika to the pool beneath a tree, but Leela emerges still alive.
Yeah.
When
she was
tries
like
to
hiding
get the,
up in the ceiling. So, did you see that? How she was like all snooty up there in the roof? Yep.
Classic dark elf. So, you know, again, even hearing myself say that makes me feel nerdy. So, but this is the predictable part. We all know that Ward's going to be the bright, right?
Yep.
So he grabs the wand and it starts to glow and he doesn't explode.
Okay, I have a different take on this, which I wanted to bring up to you guys. Is he really a bright? And here's why I think. If you take a look at Tika, the entire time that he has the wand in his hand, and it does start to glow red, where when right. she held it, remember, it was completely white. Yep. When he held it, it started to glow red, like when the guy blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tika is staring directly at Ward, and her eyes are wide open, almost like, to me, it seemed like she might have been sending some type of power over to him to protect him at that point. Hmm. So right. I was wondering, did she save him from that and holding the power back some so he didn't blow up?
I don't think
he's not
she did.
Really a bright.
I don't think she did, just because he's a leading actor in the name of the movie. Is bright.
But what about the glowing red when he's holding it?
I think he was new and it was going through its
it was just raw
color phase.
Raw power.
It's like, whoa, are you really not gonna explode? I'm gonna put all this power in you. Are you ready? I'm gonna turn red. Oh, you're fine? Okay. Well, I guess I'm ready to rock because I'm a wand.
Yeah.
And then she's all, hey, use this word to cast a spell, and he makes Leela just explode.
Yeah.
Not with joy, with explosiveness.
I never thought the magic words would be Hakuna Matata, though. That was pretty strange.
Yeah, that was crazy. He's like, Hakuna Matata.
What was Boom. The magic word, though? Do you remember?
Like, oh, I have no idea.
Valinkar or something like that? Whatever it was, it reminded me a lot of something out of Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but...
Oh, you're probably thinking of Dracarys.
Dracarys for fire, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, it was crazy. But I don't know. That could be, but Jason, they spent a lot of time really foreshadowing and... You know, the crazy guy with the sword in the back of the police car telling Jacoby, protect him, he's blessed, you know this, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag blessed.
Right. And so I think he is something, but that's where this movie falls apart for me a little bit. Because everything explodes, there's a big scene at the end, and they get out, and it's a lot of fun banter where they're basically laying there as the firemen come in, and, hey, Nick, we should have been firemen, you know, that kind of thing. And it wraps up in kind of a nice, neat, tidy bow, but it hit me then. There's so much in this movie that's not explained that I really hope. I know Netflix has come out and said there's a sequel in the works. They've green-lighted a sequel. I would love to see this turned into more of a ongoing series. Now, I don't think you're going to get this cast to do an ongoing series. Maybe.
No.
But
not
this,
Will
this
Smith.
Movie had,
you don't have the money for Will Smith.
Yeah, I mean, this movie had something like a $90 million budget. which is ridiculous.
That's crazy for something.
Well, Netflix.
Just Netflix.
They've got a budget.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think I'm kind of with you on some of that. There's a lot of unanswered stuff, and it's not perfect. So after the explosion, and I'm going to recap the rest of the movie.
I jumped ahead of you.
After the explosion, they can't find Tika. She's gone. Mm-hmm. And they're in the hospital, and the elf squad shows up. And right away, I kind of like this part. Jacoby, the orc, naive. He starts explaining everything that's happened. He's like, okay, here's what happened. There was a wand.
He's so excited, too.
And like, Ward is like, there was no wand. That didn't happen. Gangsters killed the officers. That's all I know. And then he's like, yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah,
and
they're like, okay. I get what's going on here.
So they end up, he's like, I finally understand. They're commemorated for their heroism. And some of the bad cops are also honored alongside, they're the
sheriff.
The cops that were killed were still honored, like they lost their lives, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Which Ward's Will Smith did not like. I mean, Ward.
No. Yeah. Right.
So his wife and daughter are there to support him, and Jacoby notices Tika walking among the crowd, smiling at them, and that's the end of the movie.
Right.
I did like that Will Smith's character didn't have aspirations to be a bright, didn't want to, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll use this wand since I have it.
Yeah,
it wasn't like he was after this power. I do think it was a very strange movie when you think about the entire concept, but then again, I've seen things like this that have worked before,
right?
And for me, I actually enjoyed this film, and I don't get the critics saying this is the worst movie. That there are so many worse movies that are out there compared to this
by far. So Jason, between Adam and I, we kind of hogged up this recap of the movie. Why don't you, I'd love to hear what you thought of this. Like, what is your take on it? I know you said a little bit about that ending scene, which leads me to believe that we may have slightly different views on this movie. What did you think? Like, where did this movie take you?
It took me to a grand land that I wish I inhabited right now. I enjoyed the movie. I did not think it was the greatest movie ever penned and created, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I don't know why critics and viewers alike are panning this movie. I thought it was decent. Like you guys, I mean, there was a lot of unanswered stuff throughout the whole thing. I mean, did we need them to show Peter Parker getting bit by a spider again? No. you know what I mean? How they reiterated that so many times. Right. But a little bit of that, maybe, when he first got his powers would have been nice, because we were basically just thrown into this without any backstory at all.
Right.
I read nothing on this before I watched it. Story-wise, I had no idea what was going on, and it just seemed like it jumped right into it. Why are fairies... Nobody likes fairies. What's up with that?
Right.
They did seem
annoying.
I mean,
he did look a little pesty there, a little pesty and annoying, but it's still a magical being, but you can't shoot an orc or a human, but man, you can kill all the fairies you want. Really?
Right.
I think they were just trying to be funny with it because it's a fairy.
Right.
Yeah. We talked about earlier, I really did enjoy the fight scenes. I'm not kidding. I felt a little John Wickish during some of those fight scenes, especially in the bar at the end where the bad dark elves or whatever you want to call them, were coming in and they killed all the orcs and they're going after them. Do you remember that scene? We didn't really talk about it much, but yeah, that was a pretty cool scene. I mean, it just seemed like nobody could kill them. I mean, none of these bullets are hitting them at all. And if they were, it didn't seem like they phased them at all. That's why I thought they were almost indestructible there.
Yeah. Let me ask you this about the fight scenes, because that one was a pretty awesome fight scene. Although to me, it was much more of a massacre than a fight scene, because it was just like they were and it was their moment to be known as being unstoppable. The two fight scenes to me that stand out in my mind, the first one is when they're at the gas station with the sheriff and the dark elves come and there's the car involved, if you remember. And the car is smashing them up into the walls and all stuff. And it's just the small group of them, but, kind of getting more to that hand-to-hand combat. And that was very well done. I thought really cool how they used the car and the elements in the scene to their advantage. And it wasn't all just blasting with, you know, machine guns. The second one was that final big fight scene when all the dark elves were in the house and they're trying to protect Tika and get her to the pool and all of that. The way that was done, because our heroes in this show got their butts kicked in that fight. And it was just by perseverance and strength of character that they were able to, at the last second, find a way where, you know, for example, Nick, Jacoby the Orc, he's like, you know, I gave her the bomb and boom, you know, he sets it, swipe left, blows her up outside. And
yeah,
you know, the other scene where the Jacoby's getting his butt kicked by the male elf and he just happens to get kicked through a wall.
Milf.
Where the big gun was. He was excited to carry. No, he was excited to carry the big gun, and it happened to be laying on the ground. He blows the guy's head off right there just at the last second. And that was a much better fight scene, in my opinion, than what we saw in that club, because the club was just straight up massacre.
Yeah. Nice. But it was kind of cool, the number of bodies.
All right. So let's talk a little bit
about dead bodies.
Let the bodies hit the floor. So we're going to give this a star rating. One of the things that we talked about is how are we going to rate this?
Yeah.
Each one of us is going to give a rating, and then we're going to make a recommendation.
Well, and before we do that, anything you guys wanted to...
Seg blocker!
I did.
of course, this guy.
We talked about things we liked in the movie. Anything you guys just really didn't like that really bothered you? I mean, in the interest of fairness and in a fair and equal presentation, right. So we don't sound like just fanboys.
And I think we kind of talked about some of that stuff a little bit. I liked more than I didn't like, I have to admit.
I'd agree with that,
which I didn't know what to expect coming in, because those initial reviews pouring in are like, this is garbage.
Right.
But a lot of those reviews I take with a grain of salt, because I don't know where they're coming from on this stuff. And if you're watching this through the lens of like, I'm going to examine this for the juxtaposition of racism in America.
Right.
I don't watch movies like that. No. I watch to be entertained.
Right.
And I'm also into geeky movies. So I'm not afraid to watch a movie about orcs and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, it wasn't half bad. So that's kind of where it sits with me.
I'll give you two.
I mean,
go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was going to say, I'd already talked about it before. I mean, I would have liked a little bit more introduction to it at the beginning instead of just completely being thrown in. Maybe even just like a voiceover and stuff not a galaxy far away, but, you know, in a parallel universe.
Right.
Orcs and humans work side by side or live side by side. You know, just something, you know, not just thrown right into it and be like, well, what the
almost
heck?
Like the beginning of Lord of the Rings, where they're like, here's how we got to where we're at quick.
Although,
boom.
I'll say this, and I'll go ahead and disagree with you, because I think had we done that and spent time on that, this movie already felt at times a little bit long. It's almost 2 hours long. It went pretty quick most of the time, but that middle section where it was just one chase after another got a little dragged out to me. But I think it worked having set it up this way where they just jump into it, because that's part of what gives it its charm and sucks you in. Because a note I made fairly early on is, okay, this movie feels predictable. And this was within the first probably 15, 20 minutes. I made a note saying Nick will end up saving Ward and the world, probably sacrificing himself in the process. Movie felt and was very predictable, but it drew me in because I didn't know all this backstory and I wanted to see more of that.
Yeah.
I mean, as a downside, I wanted to see more of it and there wasn't any there. But the one thing, or two things, I guess, that really bothered me, I hated the way that they made the elves have these weird vampire teeth. It irritated me to no end. Boy,
they
it irritated
did?
Me.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Oh, they've got these weird pointy front teeth, and they're just, oh, bizarre. They just irritated me. It's a small thing. It doesn't ruin the movie for me, but just irritated me. And I could not stand the way they made the elves talk. Anytime when Tika finally opened her mouth, early on, she's like a simpleton where she's just giggling and laughing through all this mayhem. And then when she finally starts talking, I it was like she had a mouthful of crap. I just hated her voice.
God, my name, Tika.
Yeah, and it was just like she was trying to sell the fact that she's dying and she's suffering from this magic that's consuming her, and they got to get her this pool. But it was just not well done. Physically, I thought the lady that played Tika did a great job in the role, played the part well. But
bet you did.
Well, I don't mean it from looks wise. I mean it as far as body language and the way she acted the part, handled the action, all of that. Yeah, the acting was decent. It was good, but the way she talked, and actually, to be honest, the way all the dark elves talked as well, I couldn't stand it. It was just irritating to me. I don't know why, but it didn't ruin the movie. You know,
what about the elf BI? He didn't talk bad. He talked pretty normal.
And I wasn't sure how to take him because he makes the comment, well, you know, if you're not on my side, then you're my enemy. And it's like, well, what happened to that crazy guy with the sword? Did they just kill him? You know, I couldn't quite read them. But I think there's more to that story that we'll see in a sequel as well. But overall, I also thought it was, you know, an enjoyable watch, good enough where I watched it twice. So,
all right, so Adam, how are you rating this bad boy?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, now you're back.
Okay. We'll have to fix that. Something went. So it's still recording, so maybe we should wrap it up.
Yep. So Adam, how are you going to rate this bad boy?
I'm going to give this 3.5 stars because I more than just... I 3 stars I give to something that's watchable. Mm-hmm. This was actually... I find it fascinating that the world, that the possibilities of them expanding this universe kind of a deal, mm-hmm. It's pretty interesting. Like modern times fantasy.
Yeah.
So that's cool that's my rating. How about you, Dave?
Well, Dave. So yeah, no, sorry. About go you, ahead,
Jason.
Dave.
Jason, are you doing the last?
All right, Jason, go ahead.
All right. Well, what I was going to say was, you know, now you make me feel kind of bad because you're like, I give a 3 to things that are just watchable. But that's what I wanted to give it, was a 3. I mean, I thought it was an average movie. It wasn't above average in the least, but it wasn't horrible. So that's why I wanted to hit the middle of the road. I mean, I enjoyed the movie, but it is not my favorite Will Smith movie of all time, and it's not my worst either. So I'm going to go with 3 out of 5.
All right, Dave.
I think I would give it a 3 out of 5 too, and mainly because the couple things that annoyed me just enough where it's like, oh, just fix that and it would be a 4, you know, because there's just a few things where it's, like I say, just the voices and some of the over-the-top stuff where it's like, okay, tone this down, rein it in a little bit, focus more on story and less on this big budget movie, and we could be good. But I really loved the idea of... basically being able to go in, and this movie serves, if you think about it, as a giant setup for potential future movie/movies, you know, etc. So I'd say it's enjoyable, and if you know you're looking for a good entertaining watch, I recommend it.
All right. With all three of us giving it a 3-star rating, even if mine's 3.5, let's look at averages. We're not going to get down to percentages and small fractions.
3.17.
We're looking at 3 stars here. I'd say serve it up.
Yep, and that's how we'll do it. We got our individual scores, and for our super reviews, as Adam said, we've got 2 main criteria. Number 1, if it's 3 stars or above, we're going to serve it up, recommend you watch it. Number 2, if it's below 3 stars, we recommend you serve it to the dogs, feed it to the dogs, because it was crap. And Bright does come in right at that 3 mark, so we're going to say serve it up, give it a watch.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with Bright, too.
Yep.
Yeah, and see, here's the thing everybody has to realize, too. If you're already subscribed to Netflix, this isn't costing you anything additional.
Exactly.
So just go and watch it, people.
Exactly. Agreed. All right, guys. So from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, please check us out at digitalsouppodcast.com. We can find all of our social media and our articles and subscribe to our podcast. We are a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, and you can check out all of our fellow shows on gunnageek.com. Next time around for the next super review, I believe we are looking at reviewing Chronicle.
Yeah, another Max Landis film.
I haven't seen this one.
So that should be a good one.
I have seen it, and I'm excited to watch it again.
All right. Nice. So, for those of you listening, if you want to interact with us on this, let us know your thoughts about Bright on any of our social media, and let's have that conversation. From all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, all of you out there, we'll catch you at our next full show, and we thank you for listening, and have a good week.
Take care, guys.
Later, orcs.